Oh, we're ready tonight. Look at Heidemann just busting out the money for nothing out of nowhere. Welcome in, Nightside. Mark Carmen with you. That's right. Going till 1 o'clock. Hope you had a great day today. I did. Saw Michael Heidemann earlier today. We dived in there on a very important meeting that neither of us understood one thing that was said. But we were there, were we not? We were there, buddy.
Yes, we were. We were there. You can see our names marked down. I'm still looking up what most of the words meant.
We learned about our 401ks. We learned about vacation time.
Flex spending.
We learned about a flex spend. Mm-hmm. Vic Vaughn, how you doing over there in news, my friend?
How you doing, sir?
Have you been to that meeting yet? Have you learned about flex spending and HMAs and PPOs and ZPDs?
No.
No? Okay. There's another one tomorrow, Vic.
Thanks.
There was three of them today. I think I'm going to go again tomorrow just to retake it in. There was food served. It was very nice. I didn't think anyone was going to show up, and neither did Michael Heidemann. And then we were all there together. Day five, team, of the teacher strike. You know what doesn't suck in the moment? I don't know. My niece just turned 13 years old. We just had a birthday party for her on Saturday night. I'm so you guys are... She goes to Chicago Public Schools. She's at the Pritzker School. How's this teacher strike going for you? Smiling ear to ear. Loving it.
I bet.
I mean, this is awesome. Are you kidding me? This is sweet. I got vacation time that I didn't think I was going to get. They'll figure it out eventually. I'm going to stay home. I'm going to watch TikTok or whatever kids do nowadays.
It's like Stack Snow Days or something.
I mean, we're going to have my guy Doug North coming up here. He's been a teacher in the Chicago Public School System for 14 years now, teaching at Curry High School. And we're going to talk to him at 11:15 here. So we'll get the real side of this, too. But I don't know if the kids are really bothering this. If I was in high school or junior high school or grammar school and they told me that I didn't have to go to school, you wouldn't be seeing me crying about it. Now, I was wrong. I should have been super motivated and excited to learn and digest and grow and be curious. I'm trying to figure out who the best student was on this show. I'm guessing it was you, Vic Vaughn. Is that accurate? No?
You're not a good guesser.
Hide him.
You know, but let me ask you this, though.
We have some very short trees in here, but go ahead, Ben.
What if you were on the football team right now?
That sucks. Yeah. That sucks. Which is interesting that...
Or whatever. You know, there's a lot of after-school programs. Where competing, you know, debate teams, whatever. Right. All that's done.
Right. If you were on the debate team, you can't debate. It also stinks for schools that are not Chicago Public Schools who are getting ready to compete against a Chicago Public School because that game is now a forfeit.
That's a good point.
So no one is winning, right? It's no bueno. No bueno. 5 days in. So, yes, that's true. So if you're a senior and you're playing football, that's too bad. And there's a lot. The IHSA, the Illinois High School Scholastic Association, has decided that Chicago Public School football teams that qualify for the postseason will be placed into the state playoff brackets on October the 26th. That's the final day of the regular season, even if the teachers are still on strike. But the strike will have to be over by October 30th. In order for the teams to play in the first round, they must practice for 3 days before they can compete. So missing games now, and I love that it's all coming down to sports. Don't worry about losing that history time, English, math, but whatever, the athletes. Like, now we're all feeling that pain. Hey, that ain't right. We can make up the days. They can, you know, extend out the school year, whatever they're going to do. Although Mary Laurie Lightfoot says that she's not going to do that, that they're not going to be making up any of the days, which I think probably is more of a threat to the teachers that you're not going to get your money back for this, which maybe she will relent at some point. I got to give the mayor credit. I got to be honest. Because you would think that the mayor would just acquiesce and do whatever she can and perhaps put the city in more danger financially and just cave in and give whatever dough. No, there's no money here. So to me, it speaks to someone who is doing... I'm sure she wants to take care of the teachers, and I'm sure she wants to take care of the students, but she's also trying to have fiscal responsibility. So I can appreciate that. There's no easy answers here. I'm sure they'll figure it out at some point. And again, we'll talk to a Chicago public school teacher coming up here in 4 minutes. It is a historic day if you go back in time. So I want to start the show with a little something positive. Do you remember what happened 3 years ago tonight? That was 3 years ago tonight. The Cubs punched their ticket to the World Series for the first time since 1945. We, of course, we did not have the team at that point on WGN, but of course we were still covering it. Mm-hmm. I was at the field covering for WGN, and I got my own version of Go Cubs Go. Just turn the recorder on, and this is what it sounded like in the park. So that was good reporting right there. And then today, Joe Girardi is getting named as the Philadelphia Phillies manager. It looks like David Ross is going to be the Cubs manager. I'm going through my old tape, and this is what I found. With David Ross, watching you on stage and see the emotions well up, man, that's big time. It was just so cool.
The love, the cheer. I mean, when you got 45, 50,000 people cheering for you when they announce your name on stage, it's just, it doesn't get any better than that. And I don't know, I love it. I don't know why they do it. They treat me so good. It's so nice to hear that. It warms my heart. It just fills me up with joy and makes me so emotional, because I'm a backup catcher and a guy that just tries to contribute to the team and works hard and do my part, and these guys treat me with a lot of respect, and fans give me a lot of love, and it just is, it's overwhelming.
Well, the city is about hard work, and they love team guys, and they see that in you. I mean, you don't have to really figure it out more than that. That's the love right there, and you perform pretty well too.
Well, playing well always helps, but yeah, the success here with this group and being on this stage and all the love you get from these fans is just, I'm so happy for them. And being in this environment, great energy tonight at the stadium. Coming in today, you could just feel the buzz in the city. Walking around, I was getting a coffee this morning, and you could just feel the buzz. Everybody excited, tapping me, telling me good luck, and you just feel the love all the way around the city, everywhere I go. And there's good people here. There's good quality values in here, and it's nice for me to be able to end my career here with my family. It's a real special moment tonight.
Last one for you. WGN TV is lurking on me. I see you, Dan Rohn. So when did you know that this group could do what you've done at this point and hopefully four more?
I think last year we grew into the winner that you saw, and being able to do what we did last year. And guys continue to work hard in the offseason and all the way through spring training. And it's been our goal to get to this point and win a World Series. And now we're going. We have that chance. So it's a credit to the coaching staff and the front office for spending the money and the ownership. And the whole group will continue to get better and work hard toward this goal. And you don't see a lot of teams that set their goals as high as we do and are able to reach them. So we're on our way there, and we got one more step.
David Ross, the city loves you. You'll never have to buy dinner here. Congratulations.
Thanks for having me.
So there you go. David Ross, 3 years ago today, and he may be named the manager, I guess, as early as Thursday, as we're creeping on Wednesday here. And I was looking through my tips. We'll play this tonight. That was a little bit of history 3 years ago. But back to the teacher's strike we go. Doug North, who is a teacher at Curry High School, going to be with us next. That is coming up in 2 minutes on 720 WGN. Day 5 of the teacher strike. Will it ever end? Let's bring on my guy, Doug North. I've known him since back in the day. I know him today, and he's been at Curry High School teaching in the Chicago Public School System for 14 years. And I've been watching him on some Facebook videos and wherever else on your social media. And there you are out there, Doug North, showing the
Mark
love.
Harmon.
Good to see you,
thanks
my friend.
For having me on.
My pleasure.
Thanks for having me on.
So you've been out on the street, Dougie. You've been taken to the pavement and protesting. You know, what's it like out there? What's it been like for you, you know, not working for a couple days now?
Well, got to be out there. You know, I mean, we're taking a stand, and we have a list of demands, and it's part of the process. We show up to work early, you know, before 7:30 in the morning, so we're showing up earlier at 6:30 in the morning, just to let the community know, let the city know that we mean business. We want to look out for our students and our schools and our communities. It's been, you know, it's been a mixed bag of emotions. Day one was a lot of exuberance. You know, we're in this together. We've started this. And then day two, the exuberance is still there, but it's that realization that we're not in our classroom. And then, you know, we hope for the best over the weekend. And we figured that, oh, well, you know, Monday we've got to be back in the classroom, right? Not the case. Monday we're back on the line, and it's a bit more real. And today, with the weather being the way it was, it got even more real. You know, and the fact that we are reminded of why we're out on the street and not in the classroom. Our students deserve the best, and they're not getting the best right now.
So when people say that, hey, Chicago teachers are making quite a bit of money relative to other teachers, what do you say to that, Doug?
Well, it's, you know, I mean, compared to who, we're in the top 100 in the state of you know, teacher pay when you look at the data, and we do get paid to do a job, and it's you know everybody gets paid to do a job, and it's, you know, money's part of it, but it's not the main part of it. And the money that we're getting paid to do our job, we're not able to do our job the best of our ability because we don't have the resources or the support to do that. So, you know, this is a complex situation, and that's why we're out on the line, and that's why we have union leadership that have put together a list of things, a contract that we want our mayor to sign off on, so that everybody gets taken care of and we can have a first-class education in one of the greatest cities, if not the greatest city in this country.
For the record, Doug, I feel like if they doubled your pay, then you maybe we'd be getting to what you guys actually deserve to get paid, because you're doing tremendous work and you're making the world a better place, and it's not easy being on the front lines in there. How many people are in your class? Now, you teach over at Curry. You've been there now for over a decade. How many kids in your class, Doug?
Well, I've been at Curry it's my fourth year at Curry, my 14th year in CPS, my third school. I have 30 kids in a class, and right now I'm supposed to have a co-teacher, and I don't. They can't find anybody to fill the position. There's a huge teacher shortage, and the quality of talent's just not there because of the struggles that we all face daily. So I have 10 students out of that 30 that need extra services, special services, and legally those students are supposed to be taken care of, and they're not. So that's wrong and against the law. So, you know, this is part of the issue. So I'm being evaluated on, you know, how well I'm teaching and the scores that my students are getting, and they're not doing well because there needs to be another teacher in the classroom. So, you know, what do I do? What am I supposed to do? And that's the frustrating part, because there's one of me and 30 of them.
Yep. And you don't want to overcommit to somebody who needs extra attention and neglect everybody else, but then you also want to help that kid who has something in there, hopefully, that you're trying to unlock. And that's, you know, that's, isn't that like the beauty of being a teacher, trying to get a kid to have that light bulb go on, and all of a sudden he realizes, you know what, I am smart enough to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You have to build confidence, you know, and, you know, to build confidence, it takes time and it gets to know the student. But, you know, how, you know, again, there's one of me, 30 of them, and they all have unique circumstances, unique backgrounds, and all of them, you know, learn a specific way. So it's on me to figure that out. I'm not given that time or that support or the resources to figure that out. And that's, you know, part of the issue, part of the negotiations, and that's what we're trying to make the people that aren't in the schools or in our classrooms realize and understand.
So just to re-go over the issues for those who are just sort of digesting this for the first time, prep time, class sizes, staffing, health care, pay, and contract length is all on the table. You guys want 3 years, the city's offering 5 years. You want a 15% raise over 3 years, they're offering a 16% raise over 5 years. You guys do not want any increase in medical premiums. The city is offering a slight increase over a period of time. And then as far as staffing, you guys want social workers, case managers, clinicians, librarians, and other staff, which the money is not there for that. Where do you think we're going to go from here, Doug? We got a couple of minutes left here. What's your anticipation?
Obviously it'll work out. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And that's the frustrating part, because the mayor's had our demands for 10 months. And all of a sudden, once we walked off the job, it became urgent. And then yesterday was a surprise where the negotiations stopped. Our mayor's not at the table to negotiate. So, you know, I couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't tell you. I know, like most of you know, I know a little bit ahead of time on what happens, but not much, because everything happens instantly. You know, they come out of their meetings, they let the public know, they let us know. So I'm not sure.
If you could get one thing for the teachers, if you could just punch one ticket, say this is, let's just get this, what would it be?
More time to plan, grade, meet with students. Over a 3-day period, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I only have 45 minutes to grade, plan, curriculum, and meet with students. That's not enough time.
Doug, you're the man. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for jumping on tonight. Fingers crossed that this gets settled soon. However,
Absolutely. However
I was a student, I'd probably be enjoying this time off. But that's not the point. get back in there, man. And thanks. And we'll be.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep, good to talk to you, Doug. Appreciate
it. You're the best. All right. Have a good night. Thanks.
Yeah, bye. Absolutely. Doug North over at Curry High School, 14 years with the Chicago Public School System. News next, 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 1134. Hope you had a great Tuesday. Got after my yoga tonight. Yep, that's right. I was doing it. Downward dog, upward dog, side plank. I don't do it very often. Always proud of myself when I do. So thank you for giving me that 10 seconds to let you know that I did my yoga today. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to celebrate something you did today, by the way. I'm open for that. Text line, phone line. Let's have a celebratory moment. Before I move on to the college admission scandal for the 17th time with more developments today, just real fast on the public school strike. The union wants, as far as prep time, which our guy Doug was talking about, more self-directed prep time for teachers, increased number of professional development days, and more teacher input on how that time is used. Union leaders said that except 30 minutes of paid prep time at the beginning of the day. Does anybody think that's wrong? Hey, man, you get in here, get yourself set up, get your classroom ready, whatever extra little bit you got to do. Maybe you're meeting with the teacher. The city, no change to prep time for high school teachers and an increase of one period of principal-directed prep time per week for elementary school teachers. Basically telling you, you got to do it at home, dude. You do your work at home. When you're here, we're paying you to teach. We're not paying you to prep. You've chosen this profession. We expect you to go home, spend the time, just like kids are doing homework. You're doing your prep. That's when you have time to do that. Don't worry about little Sally, little Billy, wife, husband, whoever. That's not really of... We don't care. We want you to get ready and mortgage your personal time as much as you need to come in here and do a good job. It's part of the deal. That's you just signed up to be a teacher. Michael Heidemann, you look like you're frothing at the mouth.
Well, I went to school to become a teacher. That was what I was going to school for, like 4 years. And then before then, I taught as a paraprofessional and did the assistant teaching for years and years. And I'm thinking that seems a little bit harsh when you haven't been in those shoes, because it sounds great that first year. I think you could do the no prep thing at school, but man, you're pushing 10 plus years. There's a lot of drag. I mean, it becomes routine after a while, but you know, you're going in there as a 22-year-old teacher sometimes, and you're kind of learning the whole process. You need those extra hours at some point. I mean, it's a learning process, yes, but I feel like we put a lot of weight on teachers' backs, and it's well-deserved because they do know what they're getting themselves into with the profession. In school, they teach you that you better be ready for no sleep, you better be ready for these issues with parents, faculty, and more. But I'm not quite sure. I am really glad that I didn't go into the teaching profession, because it seems like a lot of weight is being dropped on them, especially with the Chicago Public Schools.
It seems like a very reward. Look, I always look at it like it's got to be very rewarding to be a teacher.
Yeah, that'd be the whole draw to it, right?
And you've got kids that want absolutely nothing to do with you. But there's going to be one kid, you would hope a year or two kids, that you actually make a difference with. You have a certain connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe they come back and see you 5, 10 years. And you, I don't know, you're a million things you can do in this world as far as an occupation. Being a teacher, pretty damn admirable. Another thing the teachers want, they want enforceable class size caps for all grades. Maximum class size of 20 for kindergarten. 20 kindergartners running around. I couldn't do it.
Jeez.
24 for primary grades, 28 for intermediate and upper grades. The union also got language added into the contract to ensure pre-K classrooms 10 to 1. So if you're 3 years old, 10 3-year-olds for one teacher, which also seems like a lot. I couldn't handle one by myself. I really couldn't. Or not for
an entire year when they're nice and angry when they leave school and leave mom, and they're like, hey, now who do I need to spend all my attention with?
No easy answers here, end of the day. So fingers crossed they get it done, and Grace Carmen can go back to school. Now, for our college admissions scandal, which I hope you've been following along at home. The newest one actually involves Northwestern University. And this one's interesting. So it's a California couple. Their daughter was admitted to Northwestern. They pleaded guilty yesterday. And the names of the parents, might as well say them, they're out there. Manuel Enriquez, Elizabeth Enriquez. They pleaded guilty in Boston Federal Court. Now, what's interesting about this one is it actually details how the scandal went about. First incident, September of 2016. Elizabeth Enriquez emails a counselor at her daughter's school lying, saying that the daughter wanted to take the ACT on October the 22nd. So she tells the school, my daughter's taking the ACT, October 22. She then told the counselor that the family needed to be in Houston at the time the test would be given. Email to the counselor says, I'm sorry, but we made arrangements for our daughter to take the test in Houston. So they originally scheduled it, I guess, to look like they were above board. And then they've got this thing going on in Houston. Then they go down to Houston. So they get there in October. Now they're in Houston. And this fake proctor flies over, who was working for a private prep school in Bradenton, Florida, flew from Tampa to Houston, and she conducts the test for this daughter. That's the intricacy of everything that's going on. You're paying this fraudulent dude to set up a fake proctor. Now you're telling the school you're going to take the test in Chicago. Oh, I'm sorry, we're going to be in Houston. Then you set up a fake area where a proctor can come in, and that's how you're getting your kid into Northwestern University.
Wow, a lot of steps.
A lot of steps.
Jeez.
What are you teaching your kid, man? Hey, we're going to fly down to Houston. There's going to be a teacher there. And so then, right? The witnesses told authorities, this is the proctor. The proctor told authorities that he discussed the answer during the exam with the two students that were there in Houston, and then directed them each to answer different questions incorrectly to conceal that they were cheating.
That is crazy.
Enriquez's daughter got a 30 out of 36 on her ACT. What'd you get on your ACT? I got a 30. How'd you do that? Well, my mom called the school and told her that we were going to have the test this day, but then we lied. I mean, no, we didn't lie, but then I had to be in Houston, and I was in Houston, and I took the test in Houston. Oh, yeah, and then this proctor came in, and he gave me all the answers, and I'm going to Northwestern. What?
What path are you putting on these students to go on 50 years down the road? What kind of life lesson is just paving it like that, cheating your whole way through, going to set you up for?
Manuel Enriquez, who's the dad here, is the founder and former CEO of Hercules Capital. Let's look up Hercules.
That seems fitting.
Let's look up Hercules Capital. Let's see what their core values are.
You might unwind a whole new thread of controversy.
Hercules Capital, where we, on the side, cheat so our daughter can get into Northwestern. Hercules Capital is the leading specialty finance company focused on providing senior secured loans to venture capital-backed companies in technology-related markets, including technology, biotechnology, life science and energy, and renewable technology industries.
Sounds like a scam. I'm just kidding. It might be a great company, but
look, Hercules Capital, empowering innovators. Wow, it's a sweet website. But that's what Dad does. And then, by the way, the couple's going to be sentenced. The Hercules Capital, finance firm in Palo Alto, California. It does not list here what the mom does. They're going to be sentenced in March. So that I just reading that today, I'm like, this is why these parents... They do deserve to spend at least a couple of days behind bars. I'm sorry.
You know, Mark,
that is straight fraud. I'm a white collar criminal all day long. Yes, but you're a white collar criminal. That's what you are.
What kind all of day long? What kind of precedence does this set for the future people who want to cheat and send their kids through these fake proctors and everything? Is it going to make it harder for them down the road to do these fake tests and everything? Because that's what I'm really worried about. How are these kids going to get into school
it's
now?
True.
The kids
true.
Are like the next millionaires.
Right. It's totally true. This is what it takes to cheat nowadays. Imagine what the future cheaters of America are going to have to do.
You're going to have to be like a total recall thing of like doing different face masks and stuff, and like fingerprints are going to be burnt off.
Yeah,
I feel bad for them.
Just a reminder to everybody from good old At The Carm here on Twitter. Make your kids earn their way in life. It's okay if they don't get into Northwestern. They can go to a lesser school for less money. It's okay to be an Illinois State Redbird. It's all right to go to Northern Illinois University.
Southern Utah is very affordable.
Southern Utah is a wonderful school. So is DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
So is Loyola. By the way, none of these schools are super easy to get into, so don't get all bothered out there if I'm naming your school and you want to talk about how great it is. They're all great schools. But this has always been about the parents and not the kid. That dad at Hercules Capital wants to tell his friends and business coworkers, my daughter's going to Northwestern, and my other daughter, they cheated another daughter in there too. She's going to Cornell, and I'm a great parent, and I did everything right. And they're going to be enormous successes, except when you actually peer behind the counter here, if you will. Mommy and daddy are cheating to get their kids into college. How do you sleep at night with that? I sleep incredibly well. I'm doing everything I can for my kid. How do you sleep at night?
There's no pride in it.
Rather go the straight way, man.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, so I'm sure they. I'm assuming the Enriquez family learned something along the way here, along with a bunch of others, Felicity Huffman and everything else. All right, quick timeout. Come on back here, and a bunch of texts coming in on people who did great things today. I'm going to read some of those. Coming back here, congratulations, And also, E.T. is drunk. That's depressing. 720 WGN.
E.T. phone home.
My childhood, man. Right there. 1982. I was 9 years old. E.T. Such a nice kid riding around in a bike, taking E.T. The extraterrestrial. Such a wonderful young man. Henry Thomas. Play the role of Elliot. Fortunately, Henry's in a little bit of issue right now. Being arrested and charged for driving under the influence of intoxicants. Transported to Washington County Jail. He was released from custody this morning. Good job. Doesn't that suck when your heroes just have a bad day? I'm still with you, Henry. You're my guy. Everybody makes mistakes in life. I'm pro second, third, fourth chances.
He was so cute in that movie, too. Terrifying movie when you're a little kid watching it, but looking back, it's a pretty good movie.
Did you ever see the movie Annie Hall with the also slightly odd and more deranged Woody Allen?
I've seen bits and pieces.
He's in the classroom, and he's an adult, and he's sitting in his childhood classroom, and he asks the other kids, what did you grow up to be? And these five-year-olds start talking about what they grew up to be. I used to be a heroin addict. Now I'm a methadone addict. You know. I'm into leather. Same thing with Henry. What happened to you?
Man.
I got a DUI.
Fall from grace.
Fall from grace. That sucks. Mm-hmm. All over the news.
E.T. can't phone and home an Uber? I mean,
E.T. phone an Uber, man.
For real, man.
Right?
Get with it.
Jennifer Massey, public information officer for the Tulleton Police Department, talking to CNN on behalf of Thomas. She told CNN that a concerned passerby called police about a suspicious-looking vehicle that was stopped in a lane of travel. Then police come over. They find Thomas, a.k.a. Elliot, and he's just hanging out. He's intoxicated. Come on, man. It's my guy, Henry Thomas, E.T., childhood, right on display. 312-981-7200, the phone number. Hey, congratulations to you from the, I think, hold on a second here. Where did this just go? There we go. Okay, from the 312. Hi, Carm. I had a total knee replacement last Wednesday, and today I walked a couple blocks to do 10 reps of 7 exercises. No pain, no gain. 312, I wanted to make sure I read that text. That is awesome. Got to move forward in life. Sometimes you got to get the knee replaced. You did it. And look at you taking steps, making moves. Congratulations. Keep going there, brother. You got it. Thanks for texting in tonight. From the 815, these cheaters are criminals. Aspiring students got chumped because the parents didn't have money. What is happening to people receiving all this money? Great question. Well, Rick Singer is the mastermind behind all of this. And he's pleaded guilty to money laundering, racketeering, obstruction of justice, tax evasion. And Rick's going to jail. He faces a maximum of 65 years in prison. The government's recommending 3 years of 3 years of supervised release and a fine of over $1 million. So, people are getting penalized on it. I hope there's a greater lesson being learned as parents consider perhaps not making themselves look better down the line, even if they have the dough to do it, at the expense of their kids. That to me is the lesson here. Trucker Rich, you got 20 seconds, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm wondering, are these kids still in school?
No.
They've been kicked out?
Yep. Yeah, they're out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I was just wondering if they were still in, if they were paying to get passing grades.
Yeah, no. Trucker, appreciate them up against the clock here, but they're not. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Trucker. All right, news is coming up at the top here. But no, they are not still in school, and they have been embarrassed at the expense of their parents. 720 WGN. 720 WGN, welcome to your Wednesday. Good morning. I hope you're having a great night. Mark Carman with you for another hour. Nick D. warming up in the bullpen. About to talk to Tim Tebow. Tremendous college football player for the Florida Gators. Had a little bit of time in the NFL. Won a playoff game when he was a Denver Bronco. Now trying to make his way to the big leagues in his early 30s, which is incredibly admirable. But as we bring Tim in here, what's really cool as we can start out here is Tim Tebow is spending time at maximum security prisons to talk to inmates. And they're also, I guess, challenging you, Tim, to push-up contests. And then that hasn't exactly been going particularly well for you. I saw you took a couple of L's.
I've lost two competitions in about the last week. I lost yesterday to two Army Rangers. I was at Fort Campbell in Kentucky. Actually, last night they smoked me. And last week I lost to an inmate that smoked me in push-ups. So I got to turn this trend around a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's okay, though. I mean, your effort was strong, and I know you're about winning, but sometimes, you know, you end up on the short end. You learn from that. You move forward. What did you learn most from being around – what did you learn most about being around the inmates at the prison, Tim, that had to, be big on your heart?
I got to tell you, to be honest, it's going to sound weird to probably a lot of people hearing this, but it's one of my favorite things in the world to do. My first time going to prison was when I was 15, and I can't even tell you how many times I've been on it. I've been in prison now and visiting inmates and going to death row, and even got to see a couple of men before they went for their last days in death row. And I'm a believer that the greatest form of love is to choose the best interest of another person and act on their behalf. And you know what? These guys can do nothing for me, but I can do something for them. And so, why should they listen to me? Why should they care? It's because I'm going and there's nothing you can do for me, but it's what I want to do for you. And I want to care about you. I want to love on you. I want to talk to you. I want to share with you. And I want to be there to encourage you in a very tough time. And it's really one of my favorite things to be a part of, and it's something that is I'm very passionate about, because most of society has literally locked you up and thrown away the key, and so they say because of what you've done, there's no more value or significance in you, and I believe that there is value and significance in every single person on earth, because God loves humanity and He loves everyone, so we're called to love everyone.
What are those conversations normally like? Do they tend to go in one direction? What would you say?
I say it's different for everyone. I mean, it's different for your background. It's different for your race, different in your religion. But I think, what people are starving for, especially in prison, is hope. You know, they're starving for hope. And I want to be someone that can share that hope from my faith, as someone that I want to share the hope of. That people care about you, that I care about you. That's why we're here, is because we care about you, and that you still matter. You matter to God and you matter to me.
That's beautiful stuff, man. I appreciate you sharing. I got to ask you a couple football questions, because we got to pay the bills over here too. Do you think Urban Meyer's going to? Of course we do. Do you think Urban Meyer's going to coach again? If you had to make a guess.
I'll say I think he's trying not to. I think he's found so much purpose in coaching and encouraging young men. And not just the coaching and the winning, but I think he finds a lot of purpose. I know he finds purpose in it, loving and encouraging young men and developing the young men. And I think he wants to be able to find that same purpose outside of coaching and TV and speaking. And he's heavily involved in my foundation and trying to fight for people that can't fight for themselves, which he would never talk about, but he's made a big impact, and he loves being able to help kids in their darkest hour of need. And so I think it's hard for him not to. I think that he wants to just be do all those things and be a father and a grandfather. And him and Michelle just got done building a sweet house in an area of Florida that they want to spend a lot of time in. But I think it's a constant battle and a struggle. And I think it's something that he wants to be able, I think, to stay away. But when you've done for something so long, it's also ingrained in you.
Yeah. If you had to guess, or maybe had a preferred destination, if he did coach again and, I guess, scratch that itch one more time, do you have any place in mind?
I think it would be a place where he would be able to compete quickly, and a place where he would be able to get the recruits he wants and have the facilities and compete again for titles. There's so many, you know, great opportunities out there. The country's getting smaller as far as there's more places that can compete for titles, I think, now than ever before. Just because of travel and because the recruits can kind of, before a lot of recruits would stay in their area or their region, now I think they're really flying a lot across the country. So I think there's a lot of places he could be that could be good fit.
Were you surprised at the backlash that you got on social media with your wanting to keep college football as it is? People are coming at you, Tim Tebow.
To be honest, yeah, I was a little bit surprised, but it wasn't that I want to keep college football where it is. I do think it needs to be changed. I think what was disappointing is most people took a 1 minute soundbite out of a 7.5 minute conversation, and they took that as everything, which there was a lot of things I said beforehand about how what we need to change and what I said afterwards about I'd love to give these kids stipend and support them. And so they would take it as, you know, you don't want to support these kids. And I do. I want to support them. I actually want to support all of them. And I just think a piece for me of the name and likeness is only going to support a handful of them. But I want to support all these kids in the right way, in a student athlete first, but also being able to give them stipends, being able to give them support, but being able to give them support for their next opportunity and after sports. Because there's a reason why 78% of NFL players within 2 years of them leaving the NFL go broke. And so we need to be able to do a job of supporting them in every area so they're ready to take on life, and we support them because they are supporting their universities. And I think I want to find a balance of being part of the solution, not just saying a few of the problems.
And for the record, I saw the stipend part too. I'm like, what did he say that was so controversial? Most people are exactly right there, so I appreciate you clarifying. Do you have a pick for the Heisman, Tim Tebow?
Yeah, I'd say if I had to vote today, I would vote Joe Burrow. But he's also had the chance to play a few of his biggest games at Texas and against Florida at home last weekend. And Tua's going to have a chance to have those games. Hurts is going to have a few more games in front of him. Justin Fields has all his big games in front of him. So if I had to vote today, I think it's Joe Burrow. But I think Tua and a few other guys are going to have a say, though, about it in the next couple of weeks.
Do you see any similarities between you and Tua? I mean, outside of the fact that you're obviously both left-handed, do you look at him and think, you know what, he kind of reminds me of myself?
We play the game very differently, but I think that our family and our faith matter a lot to us, and that's something we've really connected on, and just being able to encourage him and support him. I just love who he is, what he stands for. And you know what? Tua is the guy that a lot of people wouldn't know this, but Tua would go up and go meet every single one of all the secretaries and everyone in the front office and the football offices and the president's office and the AD's office when he didn't have to, but just because he wanted to know every single person and know them by name. And that's the type of person that Tua is. He's not just a great quarterback. He's a great representative for college football, his family, and his faith.
It's awesome. All right, two more for you. Number one, where are we at as far as looking forward to baseball going here? You're 32 years old. You didn't have the season that necessarily you wanted, ended injured, but are you open to playing next year?
Yeah, totally, and I'm excited about that, and you know, excited about putting in the work to be able to get back to, you know, hopefully where I can get to, and also, you know, love having a chance to do that and compete and play a game that I love.
It's beautiful. TimTebowFoundation.org. Last one here. Where are we at with the wedding? Do we have a date? How's the planning going? What, can I help you in any way?
Oh, we're working on that more than anything. She's got me taking dance lessons, so I'm learning the foxtrot and the rumba. So I'm working on that. I'm failing, but I'm working on it. So we still got steps to take.
Have invitations been sent out?
Maybe a couple, but why? Was that a hint? Like, do I need to put one in the mail to you?
I mean, I'd love one. I'm kind of wondering, like, is somebody coming to the wedding that you don't want there, or did somebody say no, they can't come, and you're kind of bummed out about it? Anything like that happening?
No, we try not to invite people that we don't want there. So we like having people we like.
It's a big thing, this wedding thing here, Tim Tebow. I'm in the middle of it myself. There's a lot that goes on, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like a forever thing, so I get that.
Is there anything you've learned specifically from the planning?
To be very supportive, to be able to give enough input to where I am interested in every, looks like I'm interested in every detail, but then I'm also even more supportive when it's her idea.
That was a pro response right there. You're, that's an A-plus right there, Tim. Congrats.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Great to talk to you today. Great work with AFCA and what they're doing with honoring the 22 young men and Dabo as the coach. Awesome stuff, and we'll talk to you soon, Tim. Appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Quick time out. Tim Tebow, my guy, 720 WGN. Hope you enjoy the conversation with my guy, Tim Tebow. I felt like we bonded. He probably doesn't know my name, but if he did, I might be on the fringe of getting an invite to that wedding. Don't you think?
That's a safe bet, yeah.
I mean, I'm probably going a little too far. My wedding's getting closer, by the way. Let's do a Google search, Michael Heidemann. Let's see, how many days until November 30th? It pops right up. 38 days. We're down to 38.
Wow.
We're in the 30s. We're at 38, team. It's coming around the corner. So my question, my wedding question of the night for you, 312-981-7200. Text line, phone line. We're having a gelato cart. And so I went to the gelato tasting. We went over and we tasted gelato. These are the things you do when you get married, apparently. I personally think, no, we can have six flavors in the gelato cart.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Six of them. And so it's me, and it's my lovely fiance Chelsea, and it's the wedding planner, good old Linda. And we're tasting gelato.
Mm-hmm.
And these were some tasting gelato fools. Just asking for flavor after flavor. You know when you go to the ice cream store or the gelato store, can I try the chocolate? Can I try the peanut butter?
You got to get the samples.
Mm-hmm. Can I try the mint chip? Have you not had mint chip before in your life? Honestly, if I was an ice cream worker, I'd be like, no, you cannot. You know exactly what the chocolate tastes like. You know exactly what the vanilla tastes like. You know what the caramel tastes like, too. And you... No, you can't.
You would not fare well at Baskin-Robbins, is what I'm saying.
I wouldn't have. I would say, here, these are the rules. You can try two ice creams. Two. It's not an endless trying thing. We got an environmental issue here. I'm not using 17 spoons, plastic spoons for you that's going to end up in the ocean. No. No, we're not doing it. Sorry.
Do you prefer the wood spoons, the plastic spoons, or the metal spoons that I've been seeing lately?
If we're doing a tasting, let's get the wood out there, and we can do that. I like a wood spoon, though, yeah. in the malt cup back in the day.
Oh, yes.
That was a delicious option.
Nothing better.
But so we're going through the ice cream, the gelato flavors.
You know, I think we should set the scene for your gelato.
You want to set the scenes? Okay.
There we go. This is what I picture Mark Carman's gelato tasting would be like.
So it's 6 o'clock in the evening. Like, I haven't had dinner. We're eating gelato, which is cool, no problem. But that's just I feel like the time of day is even relevant here. And I'm ready to go. Chocolate. Give me a caramel. Give me a peanut butter. Give me a mint chip. Give me an Oreo. And give me, I don't know, give me a stracciatella, and we're done.
That's a nice spread.
Let's, you play the hits.
What's a stracciatella?
Okay, so that was, maybe that one's a little bit off the board.
I've never even heard that word before.
It's like a vanilla with a little chocolate in there. But I just picked real basic ones.
Yeah.
And we are having a full-on brawl in the gelato place. I don't mean to be nosy, but don't you think that Oreo is too much like mint chip?
Oh, man. Conflict in the gelato booth.
No, I don't think that Oreo is like mint chip at all. I think mint chip is green, and I think Oreo is white with cookie Oreos in there. So I think they're not the same.
They're not based out of the same cookie, right?
It's a totally... Yeah. And then it came to, well, don't you think that we should have some vanilla in there? Vanilla? There's vanilla in the Oreo. I mean, it was a battle, man. People were coming after me.
Yeah.
And then you got the gelato workers just looking at you like, no, the Oreo's better. The Oreo's better. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Oh, but if it's between Oreo and mint chip, then you should go with the mint chip. And I'm thinking to myself, does anybody who doesn't like Oreo, who doesn't like mint chip, who doesn't like chocolate, throw some caramel in there, everyone's happy. Is anybody coming to the wedding saying, I wish they had picked Reese's peanut butter, double fudge, triple chocolate gelato? And then it came down to, you know what? Some people might not want to have an ice cream gelato. They might want to have a sorbet. Maybe you should get something fresh for those people.
Something fruity, something a little bit lighter.
A raspberry, a lemon.
Dreamsicle.
312-981-7200. If you were coming to my wedding, what would you want in the gelato cart? I'm open to suggestions.
This is actually very important, though.
And I'm like, look, if you're not going up to the gelato cart in the back of the room wondering if there's a sorbet. You're going to the gelato cart because you want gelato. But this was the... And so then I'm like, do I want to have a fight in the gelato store about what gelato we're getting? Just pick whatever you want. Don't care. Do whatever you want. Well, I'd like to have some peanut butter. I want some Reese's peanut butter. Okay, let's get the Reese's peanut butter. But then we've got to get... Well, which one are you going to get rid of?
Mm-hmm.
Consequences in life here.
You can only pick six, too. You can't have like a smorgasbord of just every flavor.
You get six, Heidemann. That's it.
Man.
This is not 31 flavors. It's the Carmen wedding. You get six flavors of gelato. Damn it. How's your week going? These are, what would they call that? First world problems?
Well, it's... Yeah, it's...
But
a,
it's like... But it's the
first world problem. It's your wedding, though.
I guess my overall point is that when you're having a wedding, you literally fight over everything. I didn't realize it was going to be this stressful. As long as it's an open bar, you could serve street tacos, and I wouldn't care. You're in, 847. We got an open bar for you, buddy. You can have all the Maker's Mark you want. We got a break here. All right, hold on. Taxi Bob, I got literally 30 seconds. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, you got to have some fruit-flavored gelatos. I found that some of the best gelato is a good palate cleanser at the end of a meal. And when you start throwing in chunks of, you know, Oreo or whatever, you know, to each his own, if that's what you like, that's what you like. But
Taxi driver, I'll get you a lemon. You can cleanse your palate.
How about a banana? And also try a hazelnut. A hazelnut can go a long way.
You should have been at the gelato store, taxi driver. I appreciate the call. You could have added a little fuel to the fire. News coming up, 720 WGN. Getting texts on the gelato... I'm a 22-year-old male, and I gotta ask, what the hell is gelato? I don't even know the answer to that. What's gelato?
Never had gelato.
Is it ice cream? It's ice cream, dude. Come on.
Yeah, But
what's the difference between gelato and ice cream? It's a great question there, 22-year-old. I mean, I gotta look it up for you. Now I'm curious. How do they define it? What is the difference between gelato and ice cream?
So do you want to know?
Yes, I do, please.
Gelato is the Italian word for ice cream. It actually just starts out with a similar custard base, such as ice cream, but has a higher proportion of milk and a lower proportion of cream and eggs, or no cream and eggs at all.
Ah.
It's churned much at a much slower rate, incorporating less air and leaving the gelato denser than ice cream.
Less air, more milk, less cream. There you go, gelato. It's a slightly healthier form of ice cream. Maybe.
Yeah, let's call it that.
There you go. It's 1% better for you.
I prefer like the deep, like whole milk custard from like Oberweis or something like that. But gelato is just as good.
I love Oberweis. Peanut butter, gross. At least one flavor should be basic. These are your guests. You look at you. You looking out there, 708. Don't you understand? It's not my guest's wedding. It's my wedding. I get to pick the gelato. Jerry in Kansas, chocolate, chocolate, and more chocolate. God bless you. You got it, my buddy. We got it. We went with the chocolate. We got a chocolate in there. Does it matter? Everyone will be drunk anyways. That's we're planning on having at least 10 sober people at this wedding. This thing's going to be 10% sober, damn it.
You got to have it.
Not everybody's getting drunk.
We got to get rides home.
Right. Well, that's what Uber's for, but at any rate. I rode in an Uber today real quick. I get in the car. The guy's listening. This is a young guy. I want to say he's like 25 years old. He's listening to 98.7, which is classical music. He's rocking the classical, and he could not have smelled worse.
You don't say.
It's just like, how is this possible? Here is this smelly young man just driving around listening to classical music in the middle of the day. I kind of wanted to befriend him and learn how his life had come to this very moment where he hadn't showered in 3 days. He's driving an Uber and he's listening to classical music in the middle of the afternoon, driving Carm around.
ZZ Top doesn't sleep for no one.
I mean, come on, man. You should be, you know, let's get some WGN going on here for one. But if you're not going to be doing GN, let's get some classic rock. Come on.
Was he a young guy?
Yes, he was in his 20s.
Oh, man.
Maybe 30s. But
did ask him about gelato in his car?
We did not speak. I kept that one close to the vest. Yes. All right, let me celebrate some young people here. And they come out of Vermont. You know, young people get a bad rap. Like, they're not doing anything out there. In fact, it's the world's more competitive than it's ever been. And this is a high school girls' soccer team. And it's harder now to make a girls' soccer team probably than it's ever been, right? You got so many girls playing soccer, it's incredible. My niece is 13, she's on a soccer team, there's 17,000 soccer teams out there. So to make a high school team is an accomplishment these days. And this is a team out in Vermont, and they got huge attention. Burlington High School, the Seahorses, which is a great name, the Burlington High School Seahorses. They scored against South Burlington in a 0-0 game with 5 minutes left. And when they scored, they went full-on celebration. They ripped off their blue uniform tops. They raced to the grandstand, celebrate with the fans of Burlington High School. And underneath the game jerseys, they made custom-made white tees with the slogan, hashtag equal pay. So they're out there fighting for the U.S. women's national team. These are young girls. They want women to make the same amount as men. They're wearing the equal pay. And what ends up happening? Four players who removed their jerseys were all shown yellow cards for unsportsmanlike conduct. Taking off one's jersey is reportedly against the rules. And they were impacted negatively. Next thing you know, the game is tied 1-1. So apparently the team did have full support from the school, the coaching staff, and whatnot. And their coach, Jeff Hayes, appeared on ABC's Good Morning America on Sunday. So this has gone, you know, as they say, viral. But I just think it's awesome. Here you got all these high school kids. They're paying attention to what's going on in the world. Hey, women should earn as much as men. That's not an argument that I think many people are having. And these kids, they decided, you know what, if we score a goal today, we're going to wear a t-shirt underneath there and we're going to make a statement. And they had no idea that it would end up with their coach on Good Morning America, Mark Carmen, talking about it on 720 WGN at 12:39 at night on October the 24th. And everything else that they got. But I think it's awesome. Here we have from Senator Leahy out in Vermont. The Burlington High School, on Instagram, the Burlington High School soccer team in Vermont has shown another spotlight on the issue of pay disparities for women and men on the soccer playing fields and in society at large. The Seahorses has had a statement to make about that, and they put their hashtag equal pay message on jerseys that have become an instant phenomenon, drawing support and coverage from as far away as Great Britain and on networks such as CNN, ABC, and NBC. Marcel and I are proud owners of the jerseys. 70-year-old. I mean, that's just That's just sweet and adorable and beautiful. And go young people, damn it. I'm giving you the big thumbs up. That's the Senator Patrick Leahy in Vermont. His wife, Marcelle. They were also tweeting support. Over 700 of the Nike jerseys, by the way, have been sold so far. And the ref who gave the yellow card, he bought one after the game.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah. You don't hear about that happening every so often.
So they're raising dough. Making a, you know, it's a, I understand it's a little statement, a little corner of the world, and for those of you out there driving around, nothing's going to change. I know you're out there. But things are changing, and that's just a nice moment, man. I really enjoy it.
That's just, we were talking about the college admission scandals and everything. It's just, that those small acts of positivity and promoting, you know, an agenda or like something that you want to do for the common good, it sets the stage for later in life. I feel like now those people are going to know, hey, you know, we were woke enough to approach the gender gap and equal pay. Now what else can we do to better our society, like down the road? So I think good for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's the other side.
Uh-oh. I knew there was a catch.
I find this story just to be somewhat interesting. Did you know what I'm going to talk about here? So, there is a young woman who is an adult entertainer. She was this is down in Miami, Smyrna Beach. She was a stripper.
A stripper down in Smyrna?
Yeah, a stripper in Smyrna, 19 years old. And she has been charged with stealing $51,400 from the bank account of a 79-year-old man that she was living with.
Wow.
So, she's in jail on a $100,000 bond charged with grand theft to a victim of over 50 grand. Now, here's my thing. She apparently was this stripper. Here's this guy who's widowed, comes in there. He's 79. He's taking home a 19-year-old. She's got nowhere to live. I feel like she has absolute complete right to his bank account. If you're going to be a 79-year-old dude taking it a 19-year-old, that's legal. Okay, mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're not, but just disgusting and everything else. The affidavit says O'Brien was pulling off her clothes at Bottoms Up under the stage name Kylie when she met Don Smith, a 79-year-old from Port Orange. This is a year after his wife had passed away. Smith knew O'Brien needed a place to live, so he brings O'Brien, says, you can stay here. She ends up living with him for 3 to 4 months. She's there for 3 to 4 months. She figures out his bank account online. She starts pulling out dough. And now she's in jail. Which is all, you know, you're not allowed to steal from the 79-year-old.
Yeah.
But if you're a 79-year-old dude, and you're bringing in the 19-year-old into your home, and you're letting her live there for 3-4 months, that's like the price of poker right there.
What did he think, that they were going to be splitting expenses?
Well,
like, you know, you get groceries, I'll get this.
I mean,
you're 19 years old.
She needed some dough. She didn't. She was trying to get it on the easy side. But as I'm celebrating young people, this was also something that crossed the car desk today.
Well, is she also
19?
19. Yeah,
staying with a 70. I mean, that's just rough. Everything about it's rough. But she. She had a little creativity. She got into the old bank and got 51 grand she took from this guy.
That's enough to buy a house, a nice car.
I'm living here. I'm having the time of my life.
Are we talking over a year or is this over a weekend?
I don't know if it's a time. No, 3-4 months, man.
Oh, 3-4 months. Okay.
3-4 months she was living with this 79-year-old gentleman.
You got to think that he started it off by giving her some gifts. That's how probably she knew the bank account, right?
Something happened. What was he telling his friends? I have a new woman in my life.
You guys are never going to believe it. She loves me for me.
She loves me.
Where'd you guys meet?
She's 19. All right, quick timeout. 720 WGN. 12:48. 720 WGN. Mark Harmon taking you up to the top of the hour. Nick D right around the corner. Hope you had a great, great Tuesday and are off to a good start on your Wednesday for those of you third shifting it. All right. Couple of thoughts as we wrap on up here. Number one, I'm going to keep this in the sports realm for a second. Joe Girardi, former Chicago Cub, Northwestern Wildcat, has wanted to be the manager of the Chicago Cubs seemingly forever. Interviewed with Theo Epstein, Jed Hoyer and company, 8-hour interview. Cubs not interested. And he's going to be the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. I don't know what this dude needs to do to get an opportunity here. Class act, winning World Series after World Series with the New York Yankees would bring discipline, would seemingly bring exactly what the Cubs want. But he's, and wanted the job. Number one place he wanted to be, Cubs didn't want him. Going to Philadelphia. Be interesting to see if Joe Girardi and David Ross and company match up in the playoffs. I'm not. This is nothing against David Ross, by the way. I think he'll do a great job, and he'll be very entertaining, and hopefully he'll win another World Series here. One as a player and one as a manager. Wouldn't that be an incredible story? Entirely possible. But I did want to take a second to shout out Joe Girardi, who deserves a chance to manage the Chicago Cubs. He's just not going to get it. 3 years ago today, the Cubs won the NL pennant, beating the Dodgers 5-0 in Game 6 at Wrigley Field. And I've experienced a lot in tremendous sports moments. I mean, the White Sox, I was there when they won the blackout game to go to the playoffs. That was an incredible scene. I was there in 98 when the Cubs beat the Giants to win the to get in game 163 to get into the playoffs. That was cool. I was at Chicago Stadium in 1992 when the Bulls won at home for the first time, beating the Portland Trailblazers in six games. But the emotion of the fans in Wrigley Field as the Cubs finally punched their ticket to the World Series. I mean, people were crying. They hadn't even won the whole thing. Just because they were going to the World Series. And I was walking around interviewing fans. And I was asking him, is this the best day of your life? Because that's how they were acting. And people were answering the question, yes, it is. I'm like, well, are you a parent? Got any kids? Yeah, I do. But this is better. I'm like, really? The birth of your son, birth of your daughter? Cubs are going to the World Series and this is better? It is. I can't explain it. You know, people who've been going to the park with their dad, with their mom, with their grandparent, whatever, for their entire lives. Phone lines are open here for, I don't know, 8 more minutes. If anybody was there that night and you can collaborate what I'm saying right now, I'd love to hear it. 312-981-7200. But that's what it was like. Pretty just kind of fun to think back about that night. And even if they're able to climb the mountaintop again and do it, it'll never be like it was the first time. Because people, you just never thought you were going to see it. If you had polled Chicago, Illinois, Cubs fans everywhere, do you think you'll ever see the Cubs in the World Series? The answer would have been emphatically, the percentage would have been emphatically no. Nick D, who's coming up here at 1 o'clock, I'm assuming his vote would be no. But it happened, and it happened that night. 312-981-7200. Now they're running promos all over the station with Ed Obradovich, who was on the Rokan show on Monday. He's on Mondays at 4:40. And we didn't have a post-game show on Sunday because Blackhawks hockey was on the air. We did a pregame show from 1 until 3. We all went our separate ways. Actually, Hampton OB Stater. I went home, was watching it in the comforts of my own home, doing my own broadcast for Hot Mike, which is a new thing. More on that later.
It's my nickname, too.
That's true. It's very true. A lot of people do call you that. Congratulations. But so the Bears get walloped, mm-hmm. and they look horrendous. And this was the year they were supposed to win the Super Bowl, and Mitchell Trubisky was going to take the next step, and the coach of the year, Matt Nagy, was going to be right there as one of the hot young coaches in the league, and so much expectations. And it has just gone straight south. And now I'm wondering, like, sometimes in life you've got to admit when you're just flat out wrong. And that's where the Bears are at with their quarterback. This is not, there's no miracle coming. There were so many naysayers on Mitchell Trubisky. I've been one of them. But I didn't, and there's no like thrill in being right, although it is better to be shown to be right than wrong. But now it's like, oh my God. They invested all these draft picks and all this time and all this energy into this dude, and he straight out can't play. And they have to at some point declare that they agree with all the critics that, you know what, we gave it our best shot, we thought Mitch was the guy, and we were wrong. And we're moving on, and we're making it. You can make a trade for, there's quarterbacks all over the league right now. Nick Foles down in Jacksonville, one of them that's, I think they could pry away. Or in the offseason, Phillip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, these are all the names. And then you're moving on from this guy. But then you're bringing in a retread quarterback, and he's just, you're hoping that he's going to be good enough with this, with their defense. It's just bad. Disappointing. But that's what they got to do. And it's kind of, and so it's, it was, I'm thinking about, like, sometimes you just got to own up when you make a mistake. I thought this was the guy. My name is Ryan Pace. I was fooled. There were these other two guys, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Like, literally, you had, the Bears were sitting there when they were drafting Trubisky. You had a Mercedes in box A that you're looking at. Box B, you had a Cadillac. And then box C, you had a bunch of parts. And you didn't know what it was going to turn into. Could be a Maserati. But it also might be a Dodge Aries from 1986. So, do you want to take numbers? You want to take letter C and hope to be able to turn it into a Maserati, or B is a Cadillac, A is a Mercedes? Why don't you go with A or B? Mm-hmm. They were both there for you. No. I'm going to take the box with all the parts over there. And by the way, I'm also going to trade. I'm going to give up some stuff out of my garage to get those box of parts. Let me give you my lawnmower. Let me give you my snowblower.
It's like the worst episode of Storage Wars ever.
It's just a bad job.
You know, I was thinking about this, Mark, and just, you're a sports expert, and I was thinking about why the Patriots are doing so well this year and every year, and the Packers as well. Where is the camaraderie that you see in these other teams? I feel like Tom Brady hangs out with his O-line on the weekends. I know Aaron Rodgers does. And because of that, you want to build up your team. You want to be successful for your quarterback. And I don't think that for a second the O-line and Trubisky are going out to Gibson's on the weekend and hanging out and having a few beers. So you know what I'm saying?
You're all about bonding.
I am about bonding, because you don't want to let down your teammate or your friend. Think about it when they're playing in high school.
Well, I do think that these guys, for the most part, like each other. But
on a professional sense?
I don't know how important that is. I mean, if we want to go back in Bears time, like, the offensive line used to go out to dinner way back in the Jim McMahon days, and mm-hmm. McMahon would go there and he'd pick up the check, and all those guys would have a ball, and I'm sure they were drinking a ton and doing whatever else they were doing. And, you know, they ended up winning Super Bowls and all that. But nowadays, I mean, they're all their own corporations. I just, the whole concept, they're going to go and hang out and have a couple Miller Lights and, you know, eat some wings. I don't know, man.
I think that's kind of cool. I'd want that for my team.
It is, but I don't know how much it... I don't really think it... Well, I don't know.
Well, I was, I don't think it goes on all that much.
Is I guess what I'm getting.
I was watching the old press from the '85 Bears, and those guys were with each other every single day that year, doing press, funny photos, the Super Bowl shuffle. It was like it was all day, all night with these guys, and I think it's because of that constant being around each other that they were able to rely on each other a little bit more when they'd make mistakes, pick up for the next guy.
That team. Had a lot, had all of what you're naming,
and they had Walter Payton. Yeah,
they had a boatload of talent, dude, an enormous amount of talent. You had the greatest defense in the history of the NFL. I don't care what anyone says, that defense was, and you had Walter Payton. You had Jim McMahon. Yeah, I mean, you had some pretty good receivers too: Willie Gault, Dennis McKinnon. And it was cool. They were friendly, and they all sang the Super Bowl shuffle. But that's, I don't think that's the way out.
Bring it back.
I don't think that's the way out. The Bears have had Club Dub. Tariq Cohen's been in the locker room this year, taking videos. We got to see we saw Kyle Long's little Kyle Long in my final 10 seconds here. I wish Kyle Long luck. That guy was a great player.